Welcome to the HR Power Hour, presented by Career Management Associates. I'm David Chulo. It's about all things in the human resource world. We're going to bring in local, regional, and national guests, and we're going to talk about a variety of topics and explain why human resource management is critical to your business success so that you can make decisions to keep and retain great talent. And you're listening to the HR Power Hour, presented by CMAcareer.com and Maine.DaleCarnegie.com. Today, we're going to be talking with Corey Perlman. He is a speaker, consultant, and nationally recognized social media expert. And this is his second book, Social Media Overload. Corey, welcome to the show.
David, thank you so much for having me. It's a pleasure to be here.
No, I'm excited to have you on. We're going to be talking about simple social media strategies for overwhelmed and time-deprived businesses. You know, I got to tell you, I don't know any of those. I don't know who you wrote this book for, time-deprived and overwhelmed? I mean, come on now.
Yeah, I tell you, it's funny. It's in every crowd that I've ever spoken to, you know, you start talking about like Snapchat or something, and their eyes just glaze over. They just... the steam comes out of their ears, you know, so it's definitely a problem.
Well, there's no question. You know what really is, I think, one of the biggest challenges, and I'm sure you're going to probably agree, is that it's not the fact that communication is digital today. Matter of fact, that's a helpful term. It's just there are so many possible places that you're getting information from. And so, you know, you got email, you got texting, you've got Messenger, you've got Facebook, you've got Snapchat, you got Twitter, you got LinkedIn, you got Pinterest, you got, I mean, you could go on for the next 10,000 hours of all the different apps and connections. And so what used to be actually the simple word of conversation has become a smorgasbord of, oh my God, seriously?
You're absolutely right. You know, and I mean, the biggest pitfall, or I would just say generally people as well as businesses, is just they're overwhelmed, you know, with everything out there. And so what we try to do is be everywhere, and we do all of that mediocre at best. And my recommendation to go against that is to pick a few and do them really well. You know, the story I tend to open up with, David, in some of my talks is, you know, a gentleman was in my class, and you know, he was really frustrated because he couldn't get his Twitter feed syndicated to his website, and he wanted me to help him with that. And I said, sure, I'd be happy to. Tell me a little bit more about your business. And he said, well, I sell medical supplies to an elderly population. And I said, huh. And we kind of just had this moment of pause. We kind of looked at each other for a second, and the light bulb went on in his head, and he goes, well, wait a second. Is my audience even there? I mean, even close? And I said, gosh, I don't think so, man. I don't think your audience is even remotely close to being there. I don't even think you should be on Twitter. And he just had this sort of, like, smile come over his face, kind of skip back to his seat. And, you know, I released him from the feeling that you have to be on every social media site. So I would definitely remind your audience to really think about, you know, the demographics of their economic buyer, and make sure that they place themselves only where those people might be.
And I think that's the first part, right? Is how do you say, where is my buyer? How do you start that conversation? How do you practically look at an audience or look at what your business is all about and define, hey, this is the targeted place that my audience is?
You know, some of the things that you have to, the basics in the beginning are just sort of like, you know, figuring out, and again, I'm going to generalize here for a moment with these social sites, but, you know, LinkedIn is the business, you know, the B2B social network, right? So every Fortune 500 company, again, generally is active on LinkedIn. It's considered a safe social platform. You know, many CEOs, many executives feel very comfortable there. You know, on the flip side, Facebook, although is the behemoth, is the one that seems to have obviously has the largest crowd, but also is the noisiest and also the most feared in the fact that there's so much shared on Facebook. And we'll get back to that one in just a second. But, you know, the other ones I think you can quickly knock off your list is, you know, Snapchat's a good example of a newer site that a lot of people are asking about right now. And the demographic that's on Snapchat is ages 13 to 26. That's the lion's share of the demographics there. Now, it is creeping up a little bit, but it's still very young. So again, you have to ask yourself, you know, who is your market? Are they even close to that? Now, millennials tend to really favor Instagram over Facebook. So there you might say to yourself, again, is your market millennials? You know, will they be your market in the next couple of years? Again, if the answer is just simply no, and your market tends to be 45, 50, 55-year-old, and that's how it's going to be for a while, both Instagram and Snapchat can kind of fall to the wayside. So I think, you know, the general demographics, I think, are very important. So again, super young Snapchat, millennials Instagram, the lion's share on Facebook, but again, a very social environment. Again, that some of the younger people tend to, you know, think Facebook's passe, but, you know, ages 30 and up, the lion's share is there. And then LinkedIn's the kind of the B2B network. So this is the general demographic.
As we think about the HR world and business leaders, how do you monitor and protect your personal profiles? I mean, look, you just said it. LinkedIn is considered the quote-unquote safe choice. But safe is a relative term. And what exactly do you mean by that, and how do they look to protect themselves? Because that's a legitimate fear of HR and business leaders out there.
Yeah, you know, you're right when you said safe is a relative term, because there's also a lot of opportunity, right, on Facebook, for example. Because, again, we're missing a lot of opportunity if we're not active on Facebook. And another challenge that I think people have in general, HR folks for sure, is that we get more bang for our buck on our personal profiles than we do our business profiles. You know, Facebook has, you know, created a business out of their social network, and in order for you to get your message to your audience, you've got to pay for it, especially on the business profiles. However, if you are connected personally with people who are decision makers, who can help you, in the business world, there's a great way to be able to generate and strengthen relationships personally. And so I'm a big advocate for your business world and your personal world to intersect on Facebook. I think that positives far outweigh the negatives. But your question was, how do you protect yourself? And so the number one thing is to get very familiar with how the privacy settings work, specifically on Facebook. The best example I can use, David, is tagging. Everybody's fearful of tagging, right? So you're at a Christmas or holiday party. We just passed New Year's not too long ago. And, you know, a bunch of pictures were being taken, and you got a beer in your hand or whatever. You know, whatever's going on, but you're not really comfortable with anyone tagging you in a photo that you know. And so you can set a privacy setting that basically says, hey, I want to be alerted before it goes on my profile that I've been tagged. And it's a simple yes or no click on Facebook, and that will enable you to know anything that gets shared to your profile before it goes live. That in itself, you know, protects people from any kind of photo that would go up on your personal profile that you weren't aware of. So that would be one thing that I would say, you know, you'd be very, very careful of. And the other thing is just to stay away. I always say stay away from the topics that are uncomfortable, that, you know, at the Thanksgiving table of your in-laws' house. Same thing on Facebook, you know, politics, religion, even sports teams you have to be a little bit fearful of. You know, like, you know, we the Philadelphia Eagles just won, you know, the Super Bowl over the Patriots. Sorry about that, David. And, you know, if you're even near the Northeast and you're like, woohoo, Eagles, Eagles, you know, you can really frustrate, you know, some of your audience that are very passionate about the other team. So just being cognizant, aware of your audience and who they might be passionate for or who they might care about, and staying away from that's a good, you know, recipe as well.
You know, it's interesting as we look at the different options that are out there. Part of the challenge I know that people talk about is what is it that they are actually looking to get out of this? And I think that's the key, as far as I'm concerned, is that what is somebody trying to get out of being on social media? What, you know, sometimes it's thought leadership. Sometimes it's, exposure. Sometimes it's whatever it is. Is that such a critical piece of really thinking about why you're actually on there in the first place? I'm not talking about the personal, hey, so I can see pictures of my grandchildren and my children and all that. I'm not talking about that. But I'm talking the actual business side of social media.
Yeah, you know, that's a great question. The fact that, you know, to start with context as to why we're being here, one of the biggest challenges, again, in social media is trying to figure out, you know, is it worth it? You know, like, with all the things that people have to do in their jobs, is social media, does it need to be a part of it? So I'll give you a couple of ideas of sort of where I think social media can be a huge benefit to HR professionals and any businesses in general. You know, the first layer is generating leads, which of course everybody wants to do. So the answer to that is absolutely yes. You know, if you are trying to attract more visitors to your website and such, you know, there are opportunities. There's social advertising, which is really huge right now, where you can literally drive traffic. You can also do that through content marketing and such. So, you know, putting content out there to drive, hopefully, economic buyers to your content is definitely something social media can help you with. But that's just the first layer, and we can get more into that, you know, later on in this call if you want. But some of the other layers I think are less talked about, David, but I think just as important. One of them is generating credibility. So if somebody is kicking your tires, either checking you out personally or checking out your brand, and they do a Google search or they just search on some of the largest social networks, what do they see? Do they see a thought leader? Do they see an active profile? Do they see, you know, lots going on? Do they see social proof that, you know, you've been in the marketplace for a long time or you're doing business with a lot of, you know, high-end clients? Or do they see, you know, very few followers, a profile collecting dust? You know, so I think there's a credibility level there that either goes up or down based upon what they see out there. So I think one of the areas that social media can help you with or hurt you is your credibility, you know, when people are checking you out online. Another aspect, David, I think is equally as important to those first two I talked about is staying top of mind. So we may have somebody who visits us or interacts with us on January, but they may not be ready to do business with us until September, October, November. How do we stay top of mind with them from when they're in research mode all the way to buy mode? And social media is a great way of doing that, as long as we don't frustrate or annoy people. So you mentioned email marketing, Facebook, LinkedIn, just creating quality content that helps people, that adds value to their business, keeps you top of mind and on their radar until they're ready to buy from you, which is huge. And then last but not least, my favorite one, the holy grail of social, is using your current customer base as your sales force. So we always talk about, you know, the old adage is word of mouth is the best way to market or sell, and that's still true today. It's just social is like adding gasoline to the word of mouth fire, right? So if, you know, Dale Carnegie is a great example, your business, David, when somebody has a positive experience with Dale Carnegie, you know, do they tell one person that they're talking to, or do they go to social and post about it? They go to social and they post about it. How many people get a chance to see that experience versus the one-on-one? So encouraging our happier champion customers to talk about us online makes them advocates for our business, and that word of mouth just exponentially goes up.
No, I think that's the case. But, you know, the reality is that there's still this discussion, you call it the Bigfoot, of what people get for results off of social media. Right. And it is the question. I know executives and business leaders talk about it all the time. We're spending all this time, all this money, pumping information out there. How do we measure it? Hey, I know every CFO on the planet wants an answer to that question. Can you give us an answer to that question, Corey?
Yeah. You know, I wrote that to you and I was thinking to myself, gosh, that might be a potential for a new book or something down the line. But, you know, I've been in digital marketing, social media for over 10 years now. And you know, the word results obviously comes up a lot. And it's a difficult, you know, line to tame, so to speak, because we are in the marketing world. And you know, with that, there's a lot of touches potentially in the overall sale, right? So you might email somebody, you might call them, you might, you know, do 12 Facebook messages. And it's really hard to decide which one of those, you know, moved the needle or got them to to pick up the phone and call or do business with you. That being said, you know, we're all in the business world here, and this is an investment, so we're always working on finding ways to show results to our clients and such. So some of the things that we do, you know, the good news is Facebook, LinkedIn, Twitter to some degree, most of them all enable us to put tracking codes and to also give their own results from each platform. So using Facebook as an example, you know, we can put a tracking code on a website page so that we know every visitor that comes to your website that came from Facebook as an example. So that's a good indicator of whether or not what we're doing, again, is working or not. If you're advertising on Facebook, you know, Facebook gives you some great results. They'll tell you how many people, you know, looked at the ad, how many people interacted with the ad. You know, they'll tell you how many comments you got. Social engagement is one of those, like, buzz terms that scares, like you said, CFOs, because what does a like really mean? Does a like, you know, move the needle again, or is it just this one of these metrics that we use as social marketers? And I think a little bit of both. I think that you have to be careful with measuring likes. You know, hey, we got you guys 500 extra likes, you know, this month. Well, what does that mean, right? So I think it is a part of the equation, David, but I'm not, you know, you have to make sure that if you are, you know, using social media as a business strategy, that it's not the only metric that you're looking at. So to round that up, I would say, you know, traffic to your website is a key indicator for us when it comes to reporting. We want to make sure that that number is going up and that we can show you that that number is going up through your social channels.
We're talking with Corey Perlman. He's the author of the book, Social Media Overload. You're listening to the HR Power Hour on News Talk, WLOB 100.5 FM. And we will be right back.
Hi, I'm Kelly Flagg, General Manager of the Body Architect Fitness Center in Portland, Maine. I want to personally invite you to come meet us. If you've been considering joining a gym but haven't yet because you're a little nervous or just plain old don't like the gym, come see us. We have created a 30-day personal training experience just for you. Meet our trainers, try a few workouts, and use our facility for 30 days for just $79. Call 774-2196 or visit thebodyarchitect.com today.
And we're back, and you're listening to the HR Power Hour presented by CMAcareer.com and Maine.DaleCarnegie.com. Today we're talking with Corey Perlman. He is social media expert and author of the new book, Social Media Overload. I believe, Corey, this is your second book, correct? Because you're the author of eBootcamp, correct?
I am, and you know, that's the name of our brand too, but it's actually, your listeners are one of the first to know that we're actually changing that brand, specifically because it is a mouthful to say there, David, so that's your fault. But yes, it's eBootcamp, but that is eventually going to be moved. But that, don't buy that book, folks, because that was back in 2009, and gosh, things have changed so much. But Social Media Overload, although I did write it a few years ago, is still very relevant. Everything we're talking about is in that book, so it would be a good guide for you if you're following along.
Well, we're talking about the business side, and to let the audience know, our intention here is to talk about the business side of this, and then in the next segment, talk about personal branding, because I think it's just as important. But during the segment in between, we talked a little bit about the fact that, you know, and you mentioned that individuals go on Facebook, individuals go on LinkedIn, and sometimes their individual profiles are bigger and probably more connected than their business profiles. And I always use the example of somebody has said to me many, many times, my God, Dave, you always post pictures of food. And I do. I mean, I do a lot of traveling. Obviously, I'm out and about, and my wife and I are foodies, and we like all that sort of stuff, right? And it's interesting. I used to think, you know, some people would give me a hard time because they'd say, hey, I'm making them hungry or whatever it might be in terms of the post. But I found as I traveled and I went to events and I went to conferences and I went to talk to leaders, I'd walk in and they would say, my God, the food you eat. You're so busy. You're doing all these things. That it was resonating and connecting to an audience, which allowed me to say, hey, I'm going to keep doing that and build off that branding. That's a company strategy. Do you find that, you know, that connecting that way, even albeit it would seem in a personal manner, does connect directly to the corporate strategy of who you want to be and why you're out there on social media?
Yeah, I mean, I couldn't agree more. It's the reason, you know, 6 or 7 years ago or whatever it was when I had to make the, everybody has to make this shift at some point, you know, or decision if they're going to connect personally with business contacts. You know, I mean, we look at our Facebook channel as an example, as a private environment, you know, where we can just hang out with our friends and, you know, whatever. And at some point, you know, Joe Schmo business person wants to connect with us. And it changes everything. And it did for me and it did for you, David. And it does for everybody who's listening, you know, and you have to make that decision. Let me just mention that if you've made the decision that you're going to, you know, keep it truly personal, I'm totally okay with that. It doesn't mean you can't be successful because you didn't open business contact. That being said, what I've learned over time, and it sounds like you have too, is it's great to build relationships with both our friends and our business contacts, the people who put food on our table and, you know, and our clients or whatever the case may be. And the best example I can use of that, just in my own experience, just like yours, is my largest client. You know, I'm a business owner, right? So we have, you know, over 40 clients, and one of our largest clients called us out of the blue one day, called me out of the blue, and said, "Corey, I need to talk to you." And I said, "Oh boy, you know, David, you know, when a client says I need to talk to you, it can be a little scary sometimes." I said, "Okay, you know." And so he said, "You know, what's up, Joe?" And he said, "Well, I want to let you know how much I love seeing you as a dad on Facebook." And I was like, it was out of the blue. And I said, "What?" And he said, "You know, it's not the reason I do business with you, and it never will be. But seeing how much you are devoted dad and husband just means a lot." You know, he just said, "I just want to let you know I just love seeing the balance that you make of being a business owner and a present dad." And I was just like, wow. Now, again, I'm not saying that if his business started to go down that he wouldn't cut us, but I think it is a part of the overall experience of working together, of building those relationships and you know, people seeing the human side of our business, I think is very, very powerful.
Yeah, I think it really does make, you know, connections more possible. I mean, one of the things we all know as a business owner or any business is that it is the personal connection that drives the long-term relationship. It's certainly, you know, the what you do stands for itself, obviously, and you need to make sure that whatever you're doing and whatever you're, you know, performing has to be at the highest possible level. But at the end of the day, when something, you know, is off slightly or goes askew, as happens in the world, it's the personal connections that get you through that initial hump and doesn't have them fleeing for the woodwork to the next competitor that's next door.
I mean, I think some of these things that we're talking about are nothing new. The platforms are new, but the strategies, if you were to call them that, are not new. And strengthening relationships with our key contacts is not new. But there's the opportunity to do that at a much greater level using sites like Facebook. And just like you said, you know, part of the beauty of me being connected to my business world is that when they go through a tragedy, I can support them. And when they go through a success, you know, when their kid graduates college, or, you know, their 10 years of being cigarette-free, I can congratulate them and support them. And that's cool. I love that.
No, it's perfect. You know, one of the other parts that we need to talk about is creating compelling content. And, you know, the reality is in today's social media world, we have about 6 seconds to command their attention. That's pretty much the rule of thumb now. We talk about it in resumes. We talk about it in anything. You got about 6 seconds to actually keep them hooked, and that's the fact. So one of the main things that come up, because we used to have a lot of this, and I still see some of it, but not as much as it used to be, is about blogs and about written content in general. You know, articles have become shorter. I know blogs have become shorter. What about blogs? Are they dead, or are they going away? Or what about the written content in general is still something that businesses should look at?
Yeah, I mean, I think that the challenge is that attention spans seem to be, anyway, getting shorter and shorter and shorter. And so I think that as businesses and as people who create content, and if that's your world at all as an HR, you know, professional, if you're looking to engage your audience, you know, which we are all in some ways trying to do, The first thing we have to think about is kind of, you know, what are the topics that we're going to talk about? So I'll give you just a couple of best practices on that. Is just number one, just ask yourself, what are the challenging questions that my customers and prospects have, you know, on a given week or day? And oftentimes those questions are actually asked of you over calls and such. I mean, I think about my world, you know, with some of the questions that our clients ask us all the time, you know, how do we get, you know, more engagement, you know, with our content? Is our business page even worth doing anymore? You know, some of these questions I get over and over and over again. That's the content that I need to produce online. And the same thing for your listeners out there. The common questions that you guys are getting from your customers and from your prospects are the ones that you should answer online. That's a great way to start with creating compelling content. Now, going back to your question about blogs, I don't think they're dead. It's just, you know, I think written content is tough now because, again, like you said, there's only 6 or 7 seconds that we have to digest that content. So my recommendation is if you are writing written content, always do bullets over paragraphs. So nobody reads paragraphs anymore today, but we will scan bullets. If you notice all the things that get shared a lot or spread, you know, virally, if you will, when it comes to content, most of them are 7 ways, 6 ideas, 10 tips, right? So if you are creating written content, think about ways that you can create, you know, those numbers, 5 things, 7 ways, give a little context at the top, give away those 6 or 7 things, end it, and give a call to action and be done. That's a good framework for creating that blog post or, you know, that written article. Now, my suggestion for you, and I know we're going to get into this in just a minute, is to think about things beyond just written content. So what are those other things? Well, infographics, which are image-based content, and video, which I think is absolutely huge. So written, video, and image-based, and mix those together, and that's a great, compelling content strategy.
You know, I think you talk about video and you talk about pictures, and I think about the things that I see most shared. And it really is on LinkedIn or Facebook, really, on the two major platforms. They're typically pictures or they're typically videos. I also find them to be short, right? Something that is easy to read, easy to digest, easy to glance at. Even video, I find that, you know, if it's not compelling right off, you move on to something else pretty quickly. So, you know, talk to me a little bit about a company video marketing strategy and or, you know, infographic marketing strategy and what that really means today versus what it might have meant, you know, even a year ago.
Yeah, I mean, I think that part of what we have to do as business people is just kind of watch what the social outlets are kind of heading towards. And so one of the statistics that is out there, and I don't know if this is 100% true or not, but I certainly know it's leading in that direction, is that Facebook will be a completely video platform by 2020, 2021. Again, I'm not 100% sure that that's completely accurate, but I can tell you that there's way more video on Facebook than ever before. And so I think we just have to look at that. If we're looking at creating compelling content, we have to think about how people are digesting content. And the bottom line is that people like to see videos. And you guys also notice that the videos that seem to do the best also have the subtitles or the transcriptions below, which is something that you can do as well. So I would take as an action item for your listeners today, David, is really double down on video. The exciting thing is that LinkedIn has recently also opened up their video platform as well. So there's 2 different types of video. There's pre-recorded video that you can shoot, you know, and then upload to Facebook or YouTube or wherever. And then there's live video. Now, let's be very clear on the difference. Pre-recorded video has the opportunity to be edited. You can start over if you didn't like it. You can throw it away, whatever the case may be. Live video, however, is very different, right? You turn the live button on in your phone or on your laptop, and you're live. And everybody's watching. And if you say something wrong or you know you didn't say it quite the way you wanted to, it's still out there. Now, you can delete it afterwards, but there is the opportunity for people to see it live, okay? So the cool thing is that's been on Facebook for a while, but some of you have just noticed that LinkedIn has also opened up their platform to live video. So the question is, should you be thinking about doing that? The answer from my perspective is 100% yes. And the reason that is some of you have seen this. when you're navigating Facebook on your phone, just pretend for a second that you're hopefully instead of, you know, you're listening.
If you're driving, do not do this. Just being clear. If you're driving, don't do this. Go ahead.
Right, exactly. But if you're navigating Facebook, there's a little icon that's popped up on your thing. It says, hey, you know, Stephen Smith is live. And you're like, why in the world did Facebook just promote Stephen Smith's live video to me? I've never even, you know, had them say that about Stephen at all. So they are double promoting live video right now, big time. And so I think we just have to take advantage of it. So I think that, you know, if it's, you know, 2018/2019, and we're thinking about, hey, how are we going to really, you know, jump on the marketing side of Facebook, you need to be thinking about live video. And I specifically think in terms of like an episodic type of formula. So you might think once a week you're going to do the, you know, Tuesday tip of the week, and it's going to be, like you said, a 3 to 5 minute live video. You pre-promote it. You're sitting there either with somebody else or you're in front of the camera there, and you're saying, you know, this is a challenge that a lot of our customers are going through right now. Blah, 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 blah. And then you answer that challenge. And, you know, some people can comment in and pepper in some questions if they want. You can hit the publish button. That video has gone live. It's on your Facebook. And then you can, of course, promote it afterwards, syndicate it, things of that nature. But I really think that that's an awesome strategy for us moving forward to be able to deliver content to our network in a fun and engaging way, David, and in a way that Facebook is really pushing right now. They're pushing Facebook Live more than anything else. It's huge.
No, I think it is huge, and I think it is something that people need to be looking at. We're going to, when we come back, talk about, you know, people want to make sure it's right, and they want to make sure that it's error-free. Does that matter? You're listening to the HR Power Hour on News Talk, WLOB 100.5 FM, and we'll be right back.
At 154 years old, Verrill Dana has an illustrious history and more than 7 generations of legal expertise. With more than 130 attorneys across 7 offices from Maine to Washington, D.C., Verrill Dana serves clients across the country and around the world. HR professionals, business leaders, and in-house counsel count on Verrill Dana, one of the premier labor and employment law practices in the Northeast. Contact them today at verrilldana.com.
Are you looking to hire? Stop wasting time. Jobsandme.com has been matching Maine employers to job seekers since 1999. Job postings start at only $159 with their Quick Post product. Your employment ad can be distributed to over 75 job boards for maximum exposure. When it comes to recruiting locally, you can count on JobsandME to connect you with qualified candidates in this area. Visit jobsandme.com. That's jobsandme.com today. Stop searching and start hiring locally.
Hey, we're back, and you're listening to the HR Power Hour presented by CMAcareer.com and Maine.DaleCarnegie.com. Today we're talking with Corey Perlman. He is the author of Social Media Overload, Simple Social Media Strategies for Overwhelmed and Time-Deprived Businesses. Corey, I don't know any overwhelmed or time-deprived businesses. Do you?
I might be out of a job.
I'm just saying. Well, I mean, other than all of them. I mean, right. Is there a, I mean, it's kind of like you're just saying for all businesses, because I mean, pretty much that's what it is. You know, we talked a little bit in the last segment about some of the corporate strategies, and I just want to finish up one topic, and then we're going to get into personal branding. But the question always comes, if you're going live on Facebook Live or now even LinkedIn Live, what exactly is the concern about making an error live and not being necessarily as polished as a professional videographer would make it happen?
I'm really glad you asked that question before we left video live, because that's definitely the biggest concern for people. And I think that, you know, you can let yourself off the hook a little bit. I think that people know that it's live and that they're going to give you, you know, some editorial freedom there, that if you a couple ahs, you know, or if you lose your train of thought, that's fine. I think that when you do it, the two things I would want you to think about is, you know, being authentic and just being yourself, and you know, that's always important. And then just adding value. You know, what's not going to help is if you're sitting there self-promoting your business. So that's not what you want to do. But try to just truly be, you know, a resource for the people that are watching. And I think that if you keep those two things in mind, you'll do great. You know, and the other thing I'll just mention, David, on a best practice is people mention about being short. And I do think that, you know, you want to kind of get to the goods as soon as possible, but don't be too short. And the reason I say that is, when you go live, Facebook tries to generate a live audience for you. They go out to your network, whether it be personal or business. You can go live on either your personal page or your business page. And the question I always get is, which one should I do? And my answer is, whichever one has more of your customers and prospects on it. So if it's personal, go on personal. If it's business, go on business. But then give Facebook an opportunity to create an audience for you. So don't jump off 30 seconds in. Give it a couple minutes. You know, 5 minutes, 7 minutes, 10 minutes is totally fine. People can jump in and jump out when they want. And so as long as you're providing consistent value, people will hang on with you. Don't feel like you have to rush off the phone. But rush off the live video. But going back to your question, David, just don't worry so much about the mistakes. Perfectionism is the enemy of Facebook Live. You'll never do it if you're trying to be perfect. So instead, just try to be consistent. Like I said, consistency is key. You just go live one time, you're not going to see any results. But if you do that consistently, just like your show now, David, I'm sure the first show, you know, didn't have as many listeners as the 30th show or the 60th show. Same thing with Facebook Live.
No, you're absolutely right. And it takes time to build audience. It takes time for people to believe, hey, he's going to or she's going to provide actual content that I'll be interested in or you know, want to listen to, and what exactly is he doing. Once the novelty wears off, it's got to obviously provide that content. You know, we're talking about obviously social media overload. Let's talk a little about personal branding. So it's interesting. What are some of the common mistakes you see people make on LinkedIn and Facebook? And also, in this particular case, can you provide some LinkedIn tips for people who are obviously more focused on their professional side of the career?
Yeah, and I think, you know, for everyone listening, whether you are, you know, in a large company, you know, in the HR world, or you're a business owner, this is going to be important to you, so pay attention, which is, you know, one of the easiest places for people to go and kick your tires is your personal LinkedIn profile. It's a fairly safe environment. It's usually business centric, business focused, and people just tend to navigate there to check out. And so there's just some obvious things that you guys can do, that we all can do, to make sure that they're seeing, you know, our best side of us, essentially, you know, or giving off the best impression we possibly can. Let me give you a couple of those things. Number one is your photos. So there's two photo opportunities. There's your kind of your headshot, you know, the thumbnail photo. And if those of you have seen, you know, LinkedIn changed the look and feel of the profile quite a bit about 6 months ago. And they put that headshot, that thumbnail photo, right in the center, whether you're on your mobile or on your desktop. So that just shows you that that's an important photo. So don't, you know, skimp on it, man. I mean, you know, get a professional headshot done. Yeah, it's definitely something I think that is important. Put your best foot forward in terms of the photo that you have. And then you have a background photo, kind of like a custom photo. It's larger. It's, you know, the one that kind of is behind your profile. And that's your opportunity, I think, to kind of differentiate your profile versus others. For me, because I'm a speaker, I have a large photo of myself in front of a large room speaking on stage. So people can very quickly see that I'm a social media speaker. David, you might have, you know, either, you know, some of your different businesses back there. You might have your company with a bunch of your employees on that profile. You know, just an indication of kind of who you are and who your company is. But there's a lot of room for creativity with that photo. So those two photos are very important. The second thing is just building up your numbers. You know, I think, you know, LinkedIn to some degree is a numbers game. Doesn't mean you should have 10,000 connections, but you certainly shouldn't have 27. I'd like to see everybody who's listening to have at least 250, maybe even 500 connections. You know, they can be real connections, quality connections, people that you really do know. But, you know, be consistent with making sure that you're connecting with people on LinkedIn so that you look like a connected person and not somebody who maybe just started out or whatever the case may be. But very few connections certainly does not help your credibility. Two other things I'll share with you, David, on best practices for the profile. Your professional summary. If you're not looking for a job, that shouldn't be a bio about you. Let me say that again. If you're not looking for a job, your professional summary should not be a biography about you. It should be a benefit-rich summary about how you can help others or how you can help other businesses. So make sure your professional summary is more in line with how you service clients and customers and less about what you did 15 years ago to be where you are today. So that's a key indication. The other thing about your professional summary is you can put multimedia in there. You can have video. You can have images in there. And so, you know, I have video of me speaking. You might have an image of, you know, a logo with a testimonial over it. You know, just play around with that, but you can definitely have multimedia in your professional summary. And the last thing I'll say in terms of some things to think about on your profile is recommendations. I get asked about recommendations a lot on LinkedIn. And the thing I would say is it's quality over quantity. So instead of having 25 LinkedIn recommendations from your colleagues and friends and neighbors, try to think about your buyers, people who have done business with your company before, who love you guys. Those are the recommendations that I'd like to see. Quality recommendations with buying signals in the recommendation. For example, David, I'm a Dale Carnegie graduate. You didn't ask me to talk about Dale Carnegie, but I can't help myself. If I were to do a recommendation about my HIP experience, I talk about how, as a speaker, you know, I went into this thinking, you know, how can Dale Carnegie help me as a speaker? Oh, my gosh. They, you know, recorded my session. They showed me things that I'd never seen about myself. They gave me more, energy and momentum to put into the stories that I tell. It made me a better speaker in the 2 days I was there. Saying that type of thing is way better than me talking about how great David is and the lunch spots that he picks and the attitude that he has. It's those buying signals that will make the difference when people read them.
No, it's no question that, you know, it takes some real thought to what exactly you're looking to get out of social media. I think initially when it came out, we all thought it was kind of like an online resume on LinkedIn. You just kind of put your resume in. And don't get me wrong, the number one reason for LinkedIn to exist is recruiting. Let's be real about that. It's the number one area where recruiters buy on the back end to mine and market for data of people, for talent management. But it also has become more about if you're not on LinkedIn or you're not there, why wouldn't you be? And what is it that's out there? We're also finding the same thing now about Facebook. That's becoming more and more about, are you really being focused on in terms of people that you're connected to? And as you said, it is a big deal who you're connected with.
Yeah, and you know, I'm speaking to an audience who, gosh, talk about, I'm preaching to the choir here, but I'm sure that your audience has a lot to say about when they're hiring or looking at, you know, potential candidates, things of that nature. It's like, and you check out their Facebook page and you're like, oh my goodness, you know, like it seems like it's a no-brainer, but it's worth saying that, you know, reminding people how public their Facebook information can be and just, you know, especially as we're getting through the college years and into the workforce, so important to go back. We all had to do it. I had to do it. You know, just go back and look at all the stuff that was on your Facebook and clean it up a bit, you know, just make it more professional. And if you are using LinkedIn as a resume, which, like you said, is a huge aspect of LinkedIn, I still think it's important to differentiate yourself by using images, by using, you know, how you can help companies and such. And not, nobody likes to read an entire thing about that person. It's just like a resume. Like when you read that description at the top of a resume, if it's, you know, I did this and I did this and I used to do this and I did this, you get bored of it, right? The sooner you can say, the way I'll be able to help a business that I work with is, and how I'm able to, you know, and you turn it over, instead of using I, using you and your company and all that, you know, it's more interesting to us. As Dale Carnegie says, talk in terms of the other person's interest. So I think that's a huge best practice on LinkedIn and really any social media strategy, is talk in terms of everyone else's interests and not just our own.
No, and I think that goes really for everyone, right? To make sure that you're focusing on what is the message you're trying to get across. And as I've been told many times by many marketing people, you know, when you're putting out something, whether it be a press release or putting out something on social media, would anybody care other than your mother? I mean, that's an interesting statement, but it was one of the funniest things that I initially heard from somebody. They went, hey, you know, that's very nice. Will anybody really care? What does it mean for them? And that was an interesting moment of, as you said, not promoting yourself, but promoting solutions and promoting things that are out there for others to make that happen. You know, one of the other platforms that I will ask about, only because, and I know we have only a few minutes here left of this segment, is Google Plus. There's been a lot of talk about Google Plus being an area where Google has very high hopes and raises its, if you want to say, its platform very high over even Facebook and some of LinkedIn. What do you see with Google Plus? Because for most, I will tell you, it seems like a bust, but I don't know if that's going to be changing in the next few years.
I think it's a bust, you know, period, point blank. I think as a social network, it came and went and died. The only lifeblood it has left is from a search engine perspective. Obviously, Google's still the 600-pound gorilla in the search space. So if you have a Google Plus account and you've posted content there, it wouldn't shock me to know that it ranks fairly well on Google search engine. Other than that, as a truly connecting social network platform, you literally do not have to worry about it. The other one that we really haven't talked much about is Twitter, and I know a lot of people are probably wondering about that. You know, some of it just comes down to our own personal experience, you know, and I, like I said, I've been doing this a long time, David, as you know, and I've seen business results from LinkedIn. I've seen business results from Facebook. I've even seen business results from Instagram, from a millennial side. Twitter is a great information gathering tool. I love it to learn from and to listen, but from a business, you know, standpoint, I put it fourth on the totem pole behind Facebook, LinkedIn, Instagram. So that's kind of my personal preference. Some may differ on that, but I have to go again from my experience as well as my customers' experience. And those three have generated more results for our customers than Twitter has. We still use Twitter. We just use it in a different way. We use it to gather information. You know, if I type in on Twitter and I follow information about, you know, social media tips, social media strategies, there's no better tool on the planet for me to learn as a social media student than Twitter. But from a business standpoint, I rank it fourth on the list. So Google's dead from a social standpoint, and Twitter's fourth.
We're talking about social media overload. The author, Corey Perlman, you're listening to the HR Power Hour on News Talk WLLB. And we'll be right back.
Founded in 1958, Jackson Lewis is a national law firm with a local presence. The firm's 765 attorneys practicing in 54 locations throughout the U.S. and Puerto Rico provide a wide range of resources to address every aspect of the employer-employee relationship. HR professionals, business and in-house counsels, and C-suite professionals count on Jackson Lewis as it has one of the most active employee litigation practices in the United States. Contact them today at jacksonlewis.com. That's jacksonlewis.com.
If you're responsible for hiring and firing, you know it can be like a roulette wheel. If your new hire turns out to be a bad hire, well, all you've lost is time and money. Hello, I'm David Chulo of Career Management Associates. Don't gamble with your hiring. We have a better solution. We've helped hundreds of companies like yours find the right talent, and we guarantee it. Career Management Associates delivers people that fit. Go to cmacareer.com.
At highway speeds, the average text takes your eyes off the road for about 5 seconds. That's enough time to travel the length of a football field. Stop texts. StopWrecks.org.
And we're back, and you're listening to the HR Power Hour, presented by CMAcareer.com and Maine.DaleCarnegie.com. Our guest today has been Corey Perlman. He is the author of Social Media Overload: Simple Social Media Strategies for Overwhelmed and Time-Deprived Businesses. Corey, it's been great having you on the show today. I think there were great practical tips today about dealing with social media, about what people need to think about it. And certainly, right after the show on hrpowerhour.com, you can go and connect with Corey and make sure that his information will be on there. You'll have a connection to his book. You'll have a connection to Corey himself. Please use him. He's a great resource. Corey, as we wrap up the show today, love to have about the top three tips that you are absolutely sure that people need to have a takeaway from today's show.
Yeah, Yes, and thanks again for having me, David. It's great, great to talk to you, and really appreciated the time from and everybody who's listening. I know that your time is very valuable, and hopefully you got a few tips out of today that will help you. But I'll definitely give you what I would consider the three biggest takeaways. So number one would be, instead of being a jack of all social media sites, master of none, I would say focus on a few and do them really well. So for most of you, that's going to be Facebook and LinkedIn. Just dominate those two platforms and don't worry as much about the rest. Now, if you, some of you may be in completely different ball games where your audience is super, super young than maybe Instagram or even Snapchat. But generally speaking, bottom line is really laser focus in on one or two and do them really well. The second is, around creating compelling content. I just really think that, creating a video strategy is a great strategy for most of you. And again, just think about how you can add value to the people who are watching you. And the more you add value to them, the more they'll spread it, and the more you'll hear about it, and the more success you'll have. And the last thing is, I'll just leave you with this, is with all of this stuff, don't overthink it, don't overcomplicate it, and don't be a perfectionist. Many of my videos, I've not said the right things. Many of the content I've produced has spelling and grammatical errors. But over the last 8 months, I have 12 articles, 16 live video, whatever the case may be. The point is that in the digital space, it's important to be consistent and get out there as opposed to trying to be perfect. And 6 months later, you've got nothing. So make sure that you shoot first, and get out there as much as you possibly can. And don't worry too much about making it perfect. So hopefully that helps. And David, again, thanks for having me.
No, it's been great having you on. It's Social Media Overload. Author is Corey Perlman. Thank you so much for being on the show.
Thank you.
You're listening to the HR Power Hour on News Talk WLOB 100.5 FM. And now your HR Tip of the Week. Your HR Tip of the Week is being sponsored by VerylDana.com.
Hi, this is Tawny Alvarez from VerylDana. In most cases, when we are dealing with employment litigation, it comes after a report has been made at the company and an investigation in some format has occurred. In a number of instances, those investigations result in situations where the employer is unable to substantiate the complaint. One person says one thing, another person says another, both seem credible, and we cannot deny the perspective of either individual. This situation, however, still requires that there be a closeout meeting with the complainant. It is important for the complainant to understand that he or she has been heard and that we have looked into the situation at issue. Failure to circle back around leaves the employee feeling as though no action has been taken on the complaint and limits his or her desire to bring further issues or concerns to your attention. In the discussion, employers should make sure that they are clear that while the findings were unsubstantiated in the situation, they appreciate that it was brought to their attention and invite them to continue to bring such concerns to the attention of management. If you have further questions or concerns as to best practices in conducting an internal investigation, contact a member of VerylDana's Labor and Employment Practice Group to further discuss.
And that's your HR Tip of the Week, sponsored by VerylDana.com. Thank you, everyone, for listening, and catch us every week at 10 a.m. on News Talk WLOB 100.5 FM or 1310 a.m. and streaming live at WLOBradio.com. Podcasts of this show and every show are available at HRPowerHour.com. Have a great week, everyone, and remember, HR management is critical to your business's success.